This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the regular meeting of the board for Thursday, October 19th, 2023. It is 8:37 p.m. in the evening on the East Coast, and looks like we may have quorum. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Okay. Hi, folks. Teresa Allen. Adriana Casanave.
Present.
Thank you. James Dingman.
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon-Gray.
Still here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth. $370,000 in stolen merchandise. William Foster.
Bill sent an email that he would not be able to attend this evening.
Okay, I'll mark him absent. Sue Goodwin. Heather Gray. It's a $1 million grant which helps support this task force. Donna Grimes. I think I just heard Sue Goodwin. Is that you, Sue?
I'm trying. I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me.
Present, right?
Yep.
Damn it.
No, we heard you, Sue.
Okay, thanks.
Heather Gray?
We heard it all.
You heard me swear. Okay. I can do better than that.
Donna Grimes? Julie Hewitt.
I'm here.
Avelia Jones.
Here.
Thank you. Alexa.
Here.
Alexa, I'm sorry. Alexa.
Here, present.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
Here.
Thank you. James McFadden.
Here.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you.
And I received an email from Teresa Allen. She's on the road at Lawson and has no internet at the moment. So I'm assuming that's an excuse, request for excused absence.
John Rhodes.
John is here.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Sean, you're a little bit faint. Sharon Salam.
Here, yes.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka.
I'm here.
Thank you. Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Here.
Thank you. Egberto Willis.
They were learning new today.
Okay. Fred Dodsworth. The City Music Hall performed this
again, November 7th.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. And Egberto Willis. We have 16 present, one absent, for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Let's see now. Stephanie Wells.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
Sorry.
Here.
Nancy Sorden is here. Arthur Schwartz.
I don't expect Arthur for the open session.
Okay. And are we expecting Markeisha Van Sampson tonight?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So next item on the agenda is the report.
Are we expecting the national election supervisor?
We are, but I only sent her I only sent her the link a few moments ago, so I would not expect her to be here already.
Julie, this is Heather.
Yes.
I just want to mention about Bill Foster. He's not able to come tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Unfortunately, his sister passed.
Oh,
just a few days
ago. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a sad but awfully good excuse. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the report out from the executive session of our October 5th meeting. And that is the PNB met in closed session to discuss a confidential contractual matter. So the next item up is the excused absences. And we already know that Bill Foster has requested an excused absence. Nancy, could you remind us who
Ross
is not here?
Absent. Okay. Teresa Allen, Fred Dodsworth.
Fred's here.
Fred's here now.
Fred, okay. Thank you. Donna Grimes, Egberto Willis.
I reported that Teresa Allen sent an email that she is on the road and does not have internet access at the moment, and I'm assuming that is a request for an excused absence.
Yeah. I'll entertain a motion if someone would like to make one.
So move.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse all absences.
Thank second. You, Sharon. Thank you, Fred, for the second. Are there any objections to the motion to excuse the absences of those not present this evening? Hearing none, we'll consider all of those absences excused. And now I need to identify timekeepers. I need someone to keep time for people.
I guess I'll do that.
Thank you, Fred. And someone to time items.
I cannot do it for the first hour if someone else will take 1 hour.
I can do it. Adriana?
Thank you, Adriana. And Adriana, are you willing to do it for the whole time or just the first hour?
Yeah, for the whole time, it's fine.
Okay. Okay, you're off the hook, Darlene. Thank you.
Who is Zoom user?
It is Renee, the National Election Supervisor. So
Thank you.
Yep. So Renee, we just have to do a couple of quick items in terms of agenda approval and let's at least do agenda approval, and we can always slightly modify the agenda to take Renee first because Renee has a hard stop. At the top of the hour. So let me quickly read the, what the agenda items are for the open session portion of the meeting. After agenda approval comes approving minutes of the open session. That's a 5-minute item. Then comes report from the NES on the recently concluded elections. That's a 15-minute item. Well, with a hard stop at the top of the hour. Item 5 is KPFK LSB committee elections issue, also known as the ad hoc investigative committee. That's a 30-minute item. 6 is the ED report and Q&A. That's a 20-minute item. 7 is general counsel report and Q&A. That's a 10-minute item, although I don't think Arthur will be here in open session. Then we have unfinished business, new business, and new business is where I put the motion that Jim Dingaman sent around. Earlier today, I believe it was, and then we move into executive session at a time certain of 10:30 p.m. I'll move the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion of the agenda?
Fred.
I heard Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
I said I seconded it.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, sorry. It was Nancy asking who seconded. Yes, it was Fred. Any other discussion of the agenda for this evening? Hearing no discussion, any objections to approving the agenda as proposed?
I have a point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, during the report, the NES report, we will have a Q&A. We have option to ask questions? No.
Yes, except, well, it depends how much Renee says, but, you know, only up until she has a hard stop at the top of the hour.
Thank you.
So. Okay. Any other discussion of the agenda? Any objections to approving the agenda as proposed? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda approved. Nancy, are there any minutes for us to approve this evening?
Not in
open session minutes?
No.
All right, thank you. That brings us to item number 3 on the agenda, which conveniently enough is the NES report. So I've invited Renee to come and give us a report on the recently concluded elections. Go ahead, Renee.
How many minutes, Madam Chair?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a total 15-minute item, and Renee has to leave at 7 o'clock or top of the hour anyway, so. All right. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay, great. So thank you very much, for having me tonight, and I'll try to dedicate most of this time to questions. I published the report, and we successfully concluded the election in the allotted time at, 20% less cost than I even estimated, even on a restricted budget, which mostly had to do with finding a new vendor. In terms of the results, they're all posted. If there are any issues in with respect to, the auditing of the results, in the report itself, there's actually all of the raw data, appended to the end of the report. And if anybody has a question on how to actually interpret that raw data, I can explain how it's set up. What else? I think I was supposed to meet today actually with the election vendor to just discuss, actually potentially using them again and just what improvements could be made, in particular around, just the admin side of things, specifically the paper ballots, because while we did have paper ballots, there was some deliverability problems, whether or not that had to do with the vendor. It didn't really have to do with the vendor. It's more that the timing of everything and the postal service is slow. So, I'm thinking about, ways to improve it for next time, at least forward on my recommendations. So if I'm the NES next time, then I'll get to implement them. Otherwise, I'll suggest, options for that portion. In terms of the actual paper ballot piece, we really only had 23 returned, even though we sent out, a good over 400, like almost 450. So there's still quite a lot of waste there that we can cut down on. In terms of, participation from the stations, I think we set a good precedent, in terms of getting, staff more involved and management more involved. And I think that should be the standard, that it really should be involving staff, as opposed to hiring, local election supervisors. I think that we could improve upon that to just further involve staff at the stations, identify people who might be, even more motivated than they were this time around to get involved and take on some of those more supportive tasks on a local level. Let's see, what else did I want to discuss? Yeah, the turnout actually was pretty good. There were only a couple of elections that had less voter turnout percentage-wise as compared to 2019. And I chose 2019 because 2021 was a bit of an anomaly, to compare to, because we had like referendum and delegate election back to back. And I just think that 2019, is a better comparison year. So by and large, when you look percentage wise, this election is very, if not better, comparable to 2019. I think the only two elections that had less turnout were staff elections. And I think it was KPFA and possibly KPFT staff. Other than that, we were either equal or better in terms of percentage turnout now you can see that the total overall membership base dropped. So the number of ballots that actually came in dropped because overall dropped, right? So, I mean, I think it was pretty successful, from my perspective anyway, given what the rapid time, the week, I only had a week to prepare, and, it was a lot to kind of tie together, very quickly. But we did it. So, yeah. So anyhow, I think that it gives a good example of what can be done with limited resources. Yeah, so that's my report, and I'm free to answer questions.
Sharon, right, to the stack.
Got you, Sharon. I saw Vanessa's hand first, so thank you, Renee. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Sorry, my work phone's ringing at the same time. So yeah, thank you for the report, and thank you for your efforts. It was an uphill battle from the beginning, not ideal whatsoever. I would have included what I'm going to say in the report, you solicited comments, but the comments needed to be turned in like within hours, the same day the results were posted, and we had to, you know, submit our comments the same day. And my work commitments would not allow me to stop and do that. So I'll just say it for the record. You can respond if you want or not, but just two things. One, definitely not attributable to you, is the state of disrepair of the membership database, which made itself evident in terms of nominations that people who were members, even major donors, could not have their membership status verified. So it really greatly complicated the whole nomination process. I feel personally that you were very supportive to me.
90 seconds.
I made sure that everyone emailed, so I had a record. And the other problem was the deadline of June 6th and not honoring that in terms of if you couldn't get to the certification by that date, although the people complied with the deadline, then they were disqualified. I think that was egregious. That's not honoring a deadline. Those are the two comments I would have made.
So
thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you for your help to me. Thank you.
Yep. So for the comments, the request for comments, I actually just accepted anything that came in till, you know, till the very last minute, like until I published the report on Monday. Like, I just took whatever came through. I gave a deadline because I didn't want people to, you know, not get on top of it if they wanted to submit it. But I mean, in all actuality, I just, whatever came in, I put in. You know, I wanted to get things going, you know, and I think that if, you give people a deadline and they really want to submit something, they'll ask you and say, hey, I really want to submit something. I won't be able to get it until Saturday. Is that okay? You know, so anyway, it was an open call. It was not really planned on my part. I was just like, I want to get people's feedback. I want to publish it. I just put it out there, and whatever response I got, I included it. In terms of the June 6th, I did honor every person that submitted their paperwork before the deadline, even nominators that weren't certified because of lag time. I reached out to every single person who hadn't been registered, and I asked them for their nominations. Now, I didn't get a lot of response. So I don't really know why I didn't get that response. I think maybe people just thought, oh, the deadline has passed and it's done. But I obviously also didn't do a ton of follow-up with them. I think I reached out maybe two times, if maybe some of them was only one time, but you know, it's not really on me to follow up. Like I did follow up. And so it's again, kind of an individual responsibility to be attentive to email. Like I kind of, it's kind of a repeating theme throughout this election. Email is really, really key. So if people who registered are not looking at their emails and not looking out for a message from me, especially if they submitted things very last minute, it just indicates to me they're not really prioritizing it. In terms of the membership status, of members, so the state of the membership lists. In prior years, I've requested membership lists, preliminary membership lists from stations so that I can check, the nominators so I can kind of be a bit more involved in that process. I didn't get the lists until the end of July, so I couldn't do that piece. So I was completely relying on membership departments to communicate their response about whether or not people were members, right? Whether or not nominators were members. So I always would tell nominators, make sure, again, the nominators, there definitely could be better communication. It was very quick. But for the membership, specifically, there's definitely improvement that can be made for the lag time.
Thanks. Sharon, you're next.
Well, I'm also interested in the membership and the fact that you said that there was not much of a response from some people and you thought it was a waste for some of the information that was sent out since there was no response. I think really what we should look at it as something that it needs to be improved upon, because for people who are members to donate to the station, somehow to me it sounds like they felt a little out of it, even though they made their donation. It's like, how do we include them in so that they get more involved or feel more involved in what's going on at the station? You know, like for instance, we've been having these meetings here on the national board, but we never have an opportunity for comments from our members or the public or anybody like that. So, but they listen. And they listen diligently. We have to figure out how to have them included. And also, we have to have a uniform policy regarding how to respond when errors are made during the election process, and so that it does not seem haphazard or biased in relation to what is going on.
90 seconds.
It's not really my decision in terms of determining like public commentary or getting part of the problem is many of these elections have just hired people and put all the responsibility on the election supervisors to involve the community when really that should be something that's done on a regular basis between the stations and the community, and the election supervisor should really just come in to supervise the elections. They shouldn't even have to clean the databases. Like that's something that has been imposed and becomes a necessary piece of the job because the voter rolls are just not good. I don't have a response for the first part. In terms of the election, like things seeming biased or not, we do have the Fair Campaign Provisions report form that I did publish everything through, at least through to the 29th of September. I think something might have come in on the 30th of September, but I published everything that was submitted to me together with a response. I can do another 3 minutes.
Adriana, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. First of all, thank you for being here. But I have a bunch of concerns. One of them is the not having clean membership list render normally an election totally ineffective. Disenfranchising on membership. I have a bunch of members being disenfranchised. We at KPFT have 7 people that were disqualified as candidate, and I think that is totally irregular. You never answer. I send punctually exactly the problems. I never receive an answer from you and never receive a proof of anything that we were saying. I want to know what will happen with the discrepancy with counting ballots. I'm hearing from other stations and the Latin. You can answer all of that together at the end. I really worry. I want to know what is the process with the ballots. What are you doing with those ballots? Why have it? Because the foundation have a very clear policy on what to do with the ballots. I want to know what will happen with them to be ready for audit when the time is appropriate. That's all my questions. Thank you.
So in terms of what happened at KPFT, I was actually going to include it in the report as an addendum and I didn't. But I was very, very specific to every single person. And it mostly had to do with the petition. I basically did not get, you were the only person that had enough signatures, and you had exactly enough signatures. So,
but you disqualified me.
Let me finish, and I actually have to go in 30 seconds. And in terms of the ballots, there are copies of the ballots, and again, the raw data, round by round, it's all in the report. That's like all the data that's there. Give me one. So anyway, I have to go because I'm actually teaching a class right now. So, hello.
Thanks, Renee. Really appreciate it. And what we'll do is we'll collect up some questions maybe and, you know, forward them to you so that, you know, everybody gets their questions answered. All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sounds good. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. Time for this issue.
Yes. Thank you. So first I wanted to find out who's the number that ends in 0359.
That's Teresa, and remind me again how to mute.
Hang on one second. Muting, I believe, is *6.
Thank you.
And raising your hand is *9. It's *6 to mute yourself, *6 to unmute yourself, but *9 is just toggles raising your hand or not. Thank you, Teresa. Gotcha. Okay. All right, so it turns out that Teresa is here after all. So the next item on the agenda is the KPFK LSB committee elections issue, which is a motion from a motion that we passed at the July 20th meeting. And I'm assuming that the ad hoc investigative committee is prepared to give a report this evening, but I don't know that for a fact, but I've set aside 30 minutes for this. So,
I'm prepared to report.
Okay. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. The investigative committee was able to meet again last week. We tried to find a time this week and, have not been able to find a time that was available to all of us. So this, today's report will come from me myself rather than because we haven't been able to meet to, to reach consensus on this. So I'll start with this. I sent a written report around just before the meeting, so you should all have it somewhere near the top of your stack. I'll start with this and then...
Point of information.
Yes?
Yeah, hang on. Go ahead, Fred.
Can this be a committee report if the committee hasn't met and this is only one person's opinion?
She just said that it was not a report of the entire committee. It was... It's worth hearing an update, Fred. So I'll let it go.
Madam Chair, may I clarify something? Adriana?
I'm sorry. Yes, Adriana?
May I clarify something?
Yes.
Beth was in charge of writing this report, but we, the whole committee, we discussed all the issues. We didn't have time to review the final report, but the issues, all of us review the issues before. Yes.
Got it. Thank you. I didn't catch you. Was that Teresa?
Yes.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I'm sorry. Did you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I've evidently star six does not mute me. But my question is, I did ask Beth if she could get any statement from Eric Jacobson, and I have not seen it. Beth, do you have any statement from Eric Jacobson?
I've cited him in the study, and he's available to address the meeting tonight if there are any questions.
But we have no statement from him about his concern to be readmitted to the LSB.
He has cited his concerns in a number of emails, including to the PNB in the past. And it's from what he has documented in the past that I have put this parts of this report come from what he's provided to all of us. But if you have further questions, he's available tonight to respond.
Chair, point of personal privilege, please.
Yeah, hang on. Can I just, I understand everybody's chomping at the bit to ask questions, but Beth hasn't even hardly said anything yet, right?
I'm on the committee. It's a point of personal privilege.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, I concur with Adriana's summary of the report.
Thank you very much. Okay. So, Beth.
Thank you. So, this evening, I'm reporting in my capacity as chair of this committee. As I report every month on, for instance, the governance committee as its chair or the development task force as its chair, this is a report comparable to those reports. And I say this up front so that everybody's clear. The last report I gave was exceptional compared to any other reports I give or that I hear from other committees generally that we worked hard to come to consensus, to agree on what went into the last report. There just flat out has not been enough time for us to as Julie's pointed out, my original motion was brought forth originally at the end of July, and I think it cited August 10th as when we would wrap this matter up until it was proposed that there be an investigative committee. I wasn't opposed to that, but it was not my idea. And initially, I did my best to stand not to interfere with that process because I came into this process as an advocate for someone seeking a redress of grievances. That's a different role from what I understood to be the investigative committee.
But then more than 2 months passed with nothing really to show for it, and I found myself rushed into this situation, assigned as I commiserate with Ali being in a comparable situation where we were each just assigned to do this. And so I've been working hard to get it done from that point to this. Yeah, we've gotten a lot done. It looks to me like there's more that needs to be addressed, but we'll get to that point. So if those of you who have access to your emails want to follow along, I'll be reading the report as I construct it. This was cobbled together yesterday overnight and today, so I'm seeing typos as I go. I'll send out a corrected version following this, but the essence will be the same. This is a the report to the PNB on elected delegate Eric C. Jacobson standing as a member of the 2023 KPFK LSB report from the chair of the PNB investigative committee. First, chronology to establish facts. KPFK LSB refused to comply with previous PNB resolutions, refusal to comply with PNB resolutions regarding postponing Pacifica 2022 elections has resulted in significant disorder on the KPFK LSB extending well into 2023. To address this ongoing disorder, the PNB approved and recognized a 2023 KPFK LSB roster as of March 23, 2023. The recognized KPFK LSB proceeded to meet on March 26th, April 2nd, April 16th, April 23rd, and July 4th, 2023, and irregularly thereafter from then until the present. Meetings were also noticed for April 9th and May 21st, but were canceled. At the June 4, 2023 meeting, Eric C. Jacobson was present to continue to attend as a member, but was excluded from the meeting by KPFK officers who assert that he had missed three consecutive meetings on April 2nd, April 16th, and April 22nd, 2023, and therefore had been removed. I was present for that meeting and have the agenda and my notes that I can cite, but I have been unable to locate any minutes for that meeting. If someone here has those minutes, I would very much appreciate receiving them. I see that on KPFTX, there are minutes, or there's a hot link to download a PDF of the minutes, but when you open that link, it takes you to minutes for April 16th, not June 4th. So if the June 4th minutes are misfiled someplace else, I'm still looking for those. I've requested those. I have yet to see them. So if someone can provide them, I would be grateful. And if someone wants to send them to me, I can send them on to the rest of the PNB, or Nancy can, or Julie can.
Point of information. Do you mean April 4th minutes?
April 4th, I think there wasn't a meeting on April 4th. There was a meeting on April 2nd. Minutes that I'm looking for are June 4th.
June 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you can help me, I followed that link half a dozen different times before and after sleep, thinking it's got to be there somewhere. I have not been able to find them. So if you can, more power to you, and I will be grateful to receive them. And I'll see that everyone else gets them too. So on with report. Mr. Jacobson adamantly contests the assertion of the LSB that he has missed three meetings and is therefore no longer eligible to remain on the LSB. Mr. Jacobson attended the March 26th meeting, and that's this is not contested. On April 2nd, there was an attempt to hold a meeting with inadequate notice, in a screenshot enclosed, in violation of Pacifica bylaws. Mr. Jacobson did not attend what amounted to an invalidly posted meeting. The April 2nd meeting, this is all just to establish chronology, and then we'll go back and go into explanations. The April 2nd meeting failed to make quorum. An April 9th meeting was posted but canceled. On April 16th, 2023, with the Rideau et al. Versus Pacifica, then before the court, Mr. Jacobson, out of respect for the court's jurisdiction, as an attorney and officer of the California court, awaiting the ruling of the court, did not attend. He acknowledges this as a first absence. On April 23, Mr. Jacobson, still awaiting that imminent ruling of the court, did not attend. He acknowledges this as a second absence. A May 21st meeting was posted but canceled. On June 4th, 2023, KPFK LSB officers excluded Mr. Jacobson and numerous others from the KPFK LSB meeting on their assertion that he had three unexcused absences. This was the first indication that Mr. Jacobson had that the officers had acted to remove him as an elected member of the LSB. So we're moving on from the chronology to points of contention. The primary point of contention is the April 2nd meeting, which Mr. Jacobson noted but did not attend because he recognized that it was not adequately noticed and therefore was out of compliance with the bylaws. And Pacifica bylaws, Article 7, Section 6, time and place, the LSB shall establish by majority vote the time and place of each meeting, provided, however, that no meeting shall occur sooner than 10 days from the date of the vote scheduling said meeting without the unanimous agreement of all the LSB officers that a shorter period is required to address urgent matters. And in the event of less than 10 days notice shall be given by telephone message to all LSB members at least 24 hours before the meeting. The emphasis in the original text is emphasized there. Mr. Jacobson did not attend the April 2 purported meeting due to inadequate notice. An adequately noticed meeting cannot be counted for purposes of expulsion for unexcused absences. Sorry, I just caught another typo of. Nor is it necessary to request an excused absence from a meeting held in violation of the bylaws. KPFK officers nevertheless counted it as a first unexcused absence. Then they counted his April 16th first absence as a second. So they failed at that point to notify him and others as required by Pacifica policy. Unbeknownst to Mr. Jacobson, KPFK LSB officers then counted his April 23rd second absence as a third absence and summarily removed him from the LSB ahead of the June 4th meeting, still with no notice to Mr. Jacobson himself. In meetings lacking quorum, such as the April 2nd meeting, Robert's rules limit the agenda strictly to recording attendance and setting a next meeting date, procedurally precluding requests for or approval of excused absences. With no allowable procedure to approve excused absences, the April 2nd meeting cannot then be counted as a second unexcused absence. So Pacifica policy and questions of compliance. I'm sorry, my screen just jumped. One moment. Here we go. Pacifica policy on committee member absences, quote unquote, requires notification of the chair of the PNB and relevant LSB regarding pending suspension after two consecutive absences of the committee member in question, and also that the member him or herself be notified at the same time by phone and email, close quote. That's from PNB resolution of October 20, 2006, passed without objection. Mr. Jacobson received no such notice of his pending removal. Copies of the requisite notification of pending removal has been requested from the KPFK officers, but to date, no such documentation has been cited or provided. Indeed, KPFK LSB officers provided neither the requisite prior notice of pending removal, nor notice of actual removal, nor opportunity to appeal the removal, nor any other element of due process. They simply summarily dropped Mr. Jacobson from the roster and the mailing list without notification of any kind. In subsequent meetings, the chair flatly refused to hear the matter, advising, take it to, quote unquote, take it to the PNB. Hence, these proceedings. Moreover, investigation of Mr. Jacobson's removal has brought to light the fact that KPFK officers have summarily removed at least eight other KPFK LSB members, that's a third of the board, with no evidence of the requisite prior notice nor due process of any kind in any case. A dozen of this year's LSB members are due to carry over to next year's LSB. Which ones? Can Pacifica say which are now legitimately seated and which may have been unjustly removed? Immediate investigation is necessary to validate a legitimate KPFK LSB roster to verify that Pacifica is in compliance and to reduce the potential liability inherent in this predicament before we pass the baton to those who succeed us. This is followed by two motions. First, to restore Eric C. Jacobson to the KPFK 2023 LSB. Whereas the PNB Investigative Committee has examined the circumstances surrounding the KPFK officer's summary removal of Eric C. Jacobson as an elected member of the KPF of the 2023 KPFK LSB, and whereas KPFK officers have failed to provide adequate justification or documentation of Mr. Jacobson's removal as an elected member, and whereas KPFK LSB officers' actions have been documented to be significantly out of compliance with Pacifica policy, therefore be it resolved that the PNB restore Mr. Jacobson to his rightful seat as an elected member on the KPFK LSB. That's followed by a motion to investigate the 2023 KPFK LSB roster for compliance with Pacifica bylaws, Pacifica policy, and the law. Whereas significant irregularities in the KPFK officers' actions to remove and replace at least a third of the recognized KPFK LSB roster since March 2023, with no evidence of compliance with Pacifica policy yet found, and whereas to reduce potential liability and assure compliance with Pacifica bylaws, Pacifica policy, and the law, the PNB be it so moved.
Motion.
That one, I just have one clause to complete. That all other changes to the recognized KPFK LSB 2023 roster be further investigated and documented for compliance and reported to the PNB at the next regular PNB meeting of November 2, 2023.
Thank you. Point of information.
I will follow this with an appendix of all the cited authorities, the bylaws and the policies and all of that later this evening, as soon as I can clean it up. Thank you.
Heather,
point of information.
Yes. Wait a second.
Yeah, hang on.
Heather, hang on.
Okay. I'm here. Sorry, I'm doing this by phone for another, you know, minute. I heard Fred first and then Adriana.
Point of information.
And Sharon.
And Ali is, has his hand up after Adriana.
Okay, I can't see hands yet, but I will in about 30 seconds. But go ahead, Fred, with your point of information.
Chair, this is James. My hand has also been up. I didn't realize you couldn't see. Thank you.
No, people don't have to tell me their hand is up. In 30 seconds, I'll be able to see. Go ahead, Fred, with your point of information.
I would like to know if Eric Jacobson made this complaint that we're hearing today, and if not, who did?
Shall I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Eric Jacobson tried to make the complaint at the local LSD. Excuse me, I'm not finished yet. He tried.
I just asked a simple question. Did he make this complaint or someone else?
May I finish my reply or are you going to talk over me again?
I would ask you to actually answer the question.
Point of order, Chair.
Fred. Yeah. Sorry. Fred.
Because if Eric Jacobson didn't make this point, Fred, you're not recognized.
I said your name, but I wasn't recognizing you. Let Beth answer the question. Okay, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you, Julie. Because he was denied access to the LSB meeting and because the chair refused to hear the matter there and advised us all to take it to the PNB, that's what we did. As his Mr. Jacobson's representative, one of his representatives on the PNB from KPFK, I submitted to the PNB a petition for redress of grievances. I must have been June or July. I can go back and dig it out if need be. But yes, that was submitted to the PNB in open session. And at that point, we ran out of time. Pacifica General Counsel picked it up and dealt with it without having to bring it back to the PNB, at least enough to get Eric restored to his rightful seat on the elections committee from which he had been unjustly excluded. And then the PNB, went on to suspend the elections from the LSB, the KPFK LSB, to replace other national committee members until this matter was adjudicated. And that's where we stand now. Those elections were suspended by this LSB. The teller defied that resolution and completed those elections anyway. And the KPFK LSB officers have proceeded to try to seat those illegitimately elected representatives to replace KPFK representatives on the national committees. And so now, for instance, on the National Elections Committee, the secretary there has on her own authority seated the replacement for Mr. Jacobson along with Mr. Jacobson. So KPFK now has four representatives on that roster rather than the bylaws compliant three from each station, as is documented on KPFTX. So,
and I'm Jed, I don't know what happened with my hand. It was up, and you told me that was up, but somebody took it out. It's not there anymore.
Okay, people. So apparently Zoom does this thing where it lowers your hand if it's been up for too long. I don't know why it does that. I wish it didn't. I'm very sorry. I apologize on behalf of the Zoom Corporation.
May I finish some of the answers?
Hang on. Beth was answering Fred's question.
I have some answer for that too.
Oh, go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. I have the minutes. I told the committee that I know how things work in this foundation. And when we start the investigation, I was in charge of downloading the minutes, the audios that were there. And I had the June 4th that now cannot be found, but I have the audio too that I download. And it's very clear that Eric Jacobson, he is asking, when he asked why he was not calling the roll call, and the answer of the chair is, go to the PNB. That is in the audio there, okay? And the rest, we all know. But the minutes are there, and like I said, I hope that all of you listen to the June 4th audio that was posted. I hope that it's still there, because you'll see that is not any order. People were removed. Nobody knew who removed who and why, and who replaced who and why. It's nothing in that audio that is telling you any of that. Okay? And I listen. It's painful, but you can listen to the entire audio. And like Beth said, we have more information like that. You know, we cannot, the removal of people, the, for us, some people are asking what Mr. Erickson said or Jacobson said or somebody else said. In my opinion, we, the committee that was selected to decide, to investigate this, we were in charge to see where the actions. I care little about what people say about things. I care about the action. To prove the action, you have the audios and the minutes. Right?
Right.
Teresa Allen for the stack, please, Chair. Allen.
And our bylaws, and the PNB motions about procedure. I think that those are the important things that we should work on. We have that very clear what happened and what things we are not following the right way.
Julie, thank I have you, a Adriana. Point of information question for you.
I'm sorry, Fred, you have a question for who? Me?
You.
Okay.
Okay. Am I to treat Adriana as a member of the committee or by the 92nd rule? And if we're having committee individuals report, Teresa Allen should be on that list before we get all these people asking other questions.
Me
and
too.
I don't know how to proceed. And yeah, I'm asking Julie, not anyone else.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great question. I would appreciate it if people could keep their answers as short as possible, which gives people more opportunity to ask questions if they have them. But I think you have to not treat the people who are answering questions with the 90 seconds. But that doesn't give you all license to go on and on and on. Please keep your answers as quick as possible. Okay, so now
people in the committee are Adriana, Beth, and Teresa.
And Ali.
And Ali. So then they should be the next people to speak.
And Vanessa. And so when they're answering questions, they're not held. But if they're asking questions, they get the same 90 seconds as everybody else. Okay.
You know, I had just asked to be put on the stack.
You did. That's right, Sharon.
Am I on the stack or not? I just really have a question. I don't know if it's regarding to this. I just have a general question, just quick.
Go for it, Sharon.
My question is this. Whatever happened to the reports regarding the minutes that they were saying, was that resolved? It just seems like we just went from one into another and I got lost somewhere.
I don't think they have the minutes. But I think what Adriana answered was that
you do have
the minutes. Okay, got it. But
I
think
that the minutes that they said were lost, that are missing.
Are they posted online, Adriana?
We are posted online, and I took it early enough because I say the same. I know that things happen, and I copy the, I don't know if they are now, but I copy, and I have the audio and the minutes. Yes.
Okay.
And I can
okay.
say.
So we haven't heard from Teresa.
I will say, hang on, I'm talking. I will say, I would like not to, suggest that there's anything nefarious going on with,
recordings disappearing and minutes disappearing. Okay. Once they're posted, they stay there with one exception. I have had removed recordings where people said things in open session that they were not authorized to say in open session, because what we cannot do, people, is repeat things and have that go out there, you know, and have anybody be able to listen to it. So when that on occasion, it's rare, but it happens. It's not rare enough, but those are the only times that, audio recordings are taken down. Okay. So now I'm going through the stack of hands that I see, which is Sagerton, Dingaman, Beth, and then Fred. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Thank you, Julie. I want to say that I attended maybe half or nearly half of the meetings of this investigative committee. And one time when I was there, exercising my director's privilege, one time when I was there, Eric Jacobson did appear, and it was clear to me that he expected this committee to take his case to the PNB, and that he was expressing his concerns, and that they're embodied in this report that Beth just read. And finally, I want to say that I don't think Eric's testimony is necessary for us to decide whether due process was denied in this case. He's available. We could get it, but I don't think it's necessary. Either due process yes or due process no. Thank you.
Got it. Okay. Dingaman, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I'm reading through this report, and I'm reading this statement here that PNB policy on committee member absences requires notification of the chairs of the PNB and relevant LSB regarding pending suspension after two consecutive absences of the committee member in question, also to member him or herself be notified at the time by phone and email. And then I see added on here the whole question that arised on December 18th when you had this division in the quote, legitimate as opposed to the illegitimate LSB, depending on your point of view. So my question to the board, to these folks is, what about this? I mean, you know, this is a whole other can of worms here that I thought was resolved simply because, the people, the board ruled on that a long time ago, and there was this establishment of a quote legitimate LSB as opposed to the other LSB. And now we're seeing raised in here this issue of the people who deliberately decided to absent themselves or act the way they did on December 18th, and now I'm seeing this is put into the mix here too. And as I understand it, Mr. Jacobson goes out in December, so why the rush to do this right now?
Let me answer the rush to do this right now. We passed the motion, and this is one thing I want to clarify that Beth said earlier. We passed the motion saying that we would do this investigation. We passed it on July 20th. We actually passed it in closed session. And the reason we did that, I think, was because it simply came up late in the meeting and we were in closed session at that point. And I think originally, you know, there was some concern that we'd be talking about, individuals in a proprietary kind of way. And then, partway through the conversation, we decided, well, actually, we should have been doing this in open session. But since we had already started the conversation, and we may even at that point have had passed the motion, and that we deemed that the point was that we really needed to read that motion as part of our report out from that closed session. So that's just the one thing that I wanted to clarify about what Beth said there. I'm not finished talking.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I'm a timekeeper. I'm sorry. If you want, I stop. I'm trying to tell you that the time passed. If you want to keep talking, we need to have minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize, Adriana, for thinking that you were just interrupting me.
I make a motion to extend for another 10 minutes.
Is there a second to Jim Dingman's motion?
About a second.
Thank you. Any objections
to the motion?
Okay. Are there any objections other than Fred's objection to the motion to extend for 10 minutes?
No object.
Other than
call for a roll call vote.
Okay. Nancy, let's go for a roll call vote then.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but the roll call vote require 40% of the people asking for that. Fred by itself cannot ask for that. That is Robert rule of order. Thank you.
You have my objection, Julie, to,
we have enough objections that I'm going to go for a roll call vote. So this is a vote on the motion to extend for 10 minutes. Nancy, can you call the roll?
Yes, one second.
I can't hear.
Okay. Teresa Allen?
Allen is staying.
Adriana Casanave? Adriana Casanave?
I said yes.
Didn't hear you. Thank you for letting me know.
You're welcome.
I heard you that time. James Dingman?
Yo, yes.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth?
No.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin?
Muted.
I'm actually not clear what we're voting on.
Yes, yes means to extend discussion of this for 10 minutes. No means to stop.
Okay, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Sue Goodwin said yes. Is that correct? Did you say yes?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Donna Grimes? Avelia Jones?
No.
Thank you. Alexa?
Abstain.
Abstain. Thank you. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Thank you. James McFadden?
Yes.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Thank you. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Thank you. Sharon Salam?
Abstain.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Thank you. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Thank you. Egberto Willis? Okay. We have 10 yes, 4 no, 3 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
Thank you. 10 yes, 4 no, 4 abstentions.
All right, so we continue for 10 minutes. Okay. Go ahead, Teresa. Chair,
this is Teresa. Am I on the stack?
No. She should
be. Fred, I'm the chair. Unless you want to be the chair, Fred.
I'll be the chair. Would you like me to be the chair? I'd be fine.
Hey.
You're the chair.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Teresa. I can hear you.
Star 9 is not working for me on my phone. So,
all right.
May I repeat myself? In the midst of Brujas, Chair, I said, Teresa Allen for the stack, and you said, yes, but a lot was going on, so I just assumed yes meant you were putting Teresa Allen on the stack. And that was a bit ago.
Okay, yes. People, I don't need everybody to chime in here. The point is, I do not have a way to raise Teresa's hand, and I was not sitting at my computer, and I am deeply sorry. I will record that Teresa is on the staff now. Okay. Beth is next. And this is a 90-second. This is.
Okay, well, some of this has to do with providing more information. For instance, that repeated requests to KPFK officers for a complete list of the roster of membership and attendance for the year to date with a list of all changes and an explanation for each change has been repeatedly denied to the point where I reissued the request as a director's inspection and still have received nothing. For the record, I was present at the KPFK LSB meeting last December 18, and from the opening session, I opposed vehemently what happened then. I oppose these surreptitious changes outside of meetings on the supposed authority of officers of the roster there, and I oppose it on the recognized LSB. For me, it's the same issue. I'm standing up for process each time. I texted Arthur ahead of the December 18th meeting to let him know what was up, and he managed on, he turned on a dime and showed up real time live, so he had, this issue from the beginning. So I oppose what happened there. I oppose what has been happening on the Ellis. We need to rectify this roster. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I cannot raise my hand. I don't know what happened. I got my hand up, but I don't know. I cannot
do it. All right, I'll write your name down. But Teresa's next.
Okay, thank you. I don't think that KPFK has to respond to repeated requests for rosters. That's one thing. I think that there was some confusion on the part of the KPFK LSB. They met on the 26th. They called a meeting for April the 2nd. Eric Jacobson was in that meeting. There was no objection to a meeting on April 2nd. Now, maybe they needed to call a continuation meeting, but what happened was KPFTX sends out reminder notices, and their meeting was on a Sunday. So by the time, I mean, it says something on the KPFTX about, you know, I had a difficulty posting this meeting, but the fact of the matter is that he knew there was a meeting on April the 2nd. And he received all notifications that he would have received if she had posted it that minute, the secretary had posted it that minute from that Sunday. He also received minutes because he was legitimately seated on that board. He also received agendas, and he received the notifications of the meetings. The bylaws state that there's an automatic removal if you miss three meetings. It doesn't say you have to, you know, post it, or you have to, it doesn't say you have to acknowledge it in the meeting, these people are now removed, blah, blah, blah. It just doesn't say that in our bylaws. So he had missed three meetings technically. And in the minutes, I believe, of April 16th and for the 23rd, when the minutes went out and the agendas went out, I believe there was notification on those things saying, if you miss three meetings, you're out. You're automatically removed. I think our bylaws are clear. And it's sad to say, I mean, I can appreciate Adriana's concern that back in 2006, we said we had to call people, but I think we had to acknowledge that this local station board was trying to get back up together and people were missing meetings, perhaps some of them, because they just did not intend to attend. Some people were attending simultaneous meetings, this other LSB, which if you look on their website, said they call themselves the legitimate LSB, Missouri Rideau. And there's lawsuit involving that. And in fact, one of our board members is actually on a lawsuit supporting this. So,
I just think that we have to give some credit to this LSB attempting to have legitimate meetings. In fact, one last point. There's been some statement that in Beth's report that the Robert's Rule states that you can only do certain things at meetings. But if some people are attempting to undermine a group of people, I think that Robert's Rules is saying, if you hold a meeting, you can call roll. So if you're not there, then, and they can't make quorum, I think it's legitimate to say there was a legitimately called meeting and people did not attend. That has to be recorded of who did not attend. And sad to say, if that contributes toward a feeling that they're unexcused absence, that's just the way it is. They did not attend. And maybe a person can come 15 minutes late and the meeting did not happen because they were not there. I just think we have to give some credit to the fact that some people did not attend, and clearly for political reasons, they did not want this LSB meeting to happen. Thank you.
Next up is Ali.
I'm not going to try and dispute the report. I will just say that I'm on the KPFK LSB, and I did report that I received adequate notice for that meeting, and I attended that meeting. The other point I wanted to make is this statement that Eric didn't attend the meetings because of some kind of court order from the judge. That's the first I'm hearing of that. I am not aware of any such order. And if there was one, I'm sure that all the members of the LSB would have been told that by our legal counsel. Furthermore, if he didn't attend the legitimate meetings because of a court order, it's odd that he also did attend all of the Ziri Rideau self-seated LSB meetings. So that whole thing seems very disingenuous to say he wasn't attending because of that. And even if he was, he could have easily just sent an email saying, I'm asking for an excused absence. Those are the only points I want to make. Thank you.
I'm Chair Adriana as a timekeeper.
Are we at time again?
Exactly. And we have five people on the roster.
I got it, Adriana. All you need to do is tell me time's up. I got it. Yes, we do have a bunch more people who have their hands up, some of whom have already spoken. But if we want to keep talking, we would need a motion to extend. Is there a motion?
I make the minutes extension.
10 minutes. Okay, Adriana, thank you.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second, yeah.
Thank you, Beth.
Second, Beth.
Are there any objections to a motion to extend for 10 minutes?
Again, me.
Okay. I've got Fred's objection. Are there, and what I'm trying to do by asking if there are other people. Okay, got you, Teresa. What I'm trying to do by asking if others would like to go on the record as objecting is to avoid the time that it takes to do a roll call vote.
I object.
I got you. Avelia, Teresa, and Fred. Are there others who object?
This is Aki. I'm sure.
Aki.
We should have a roll call vote.
Well, there we go. Thank you so much, Fred. All right.
You're welcome.
Nancy. We're going to do a roll call vote.
Julie, is it possible we could just fill out the people who are on and just get
no,
finished with
them? No, because Fred requested a roll call vote, which is counter to what he's trying to do here, and so he's going to feel the pain. We're doing a roll call vote.
Okay.
I asked for his cooperation, and he didn't cooperate.
That's a fact.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, just one second. Okay, Teresa Allen.
Ellen says no.
Adriana Casanave.
Yes.
James Dingman.
Yes.
Vanessa Dixon-Dix.
Yes.
Fred Dodsworth.
No.
Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Donna Grimes. Avelia Jones.
No.
Ali Lexa.
No.
Marianne Martinez.
No.
James McFadden.
Yes.
Darlene Pagano.
No.
John Rhodes.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Sharon Flom. Jerome?
Abstain.
Aki Tanaka.
No.
Beth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Berta Willis. Okay. Donna Grimes. Okay. Like Berta Willis, I get. Okay, so. There's 9 yes, 7 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
And one abstention, sorry. Okay.
The yeses have it. So we have 10 more minutes. Okay. So let's see where we were. I see Sagerton, Dingman, then I have Adriana, then Beth, then Vanessa, then Fred, who ironically wants to be on the stack, even though he just voted against the extending.
I don't need your attitude.
So, and
Fred,
I may or may not.
Worse.
I may or may not need yours. Sagerton, you're up. Can't hear you.
Sorry, Chair, had to get unmuted. Yeah, I just want to say Article 7, Section 4 says that the PNB can overrule any action of an LSB. So I think we can rely on that power as well. And again, I would cite the October 20th, 2006 resolution of the PNB saying that before you remove a person, you need to notify them after 2 absences, and you need to notify the chair of the relevant LSB and the chair of the PNB. And none of those notifications are in, have been produced, even though they've been requested.
Point of information, Chair?
Yes, Darlene.
James, are you going back to the 2006 minutes on that? Or where's that all coming from?
Go ahead, Sagerton.
I can answer.
Actually, on that, we could find no minutes. Teresa Allen was the secretary at that meeting. No minutes are posted. I went to the recording, and I listened to the meeting, and that's quoted from the resolution that was passed at the meeting, without objection, by the way.
Thank you, Sagerton. Next up is Dingman.
Yeah, that's fascinating because we probably have all these little doodads in the history of the foundation that nobody knows where the hell they are. And then we get them brought up in these meetings. Now, I do notice in this resolution here that, again, it's a fact that Mr. Jacobson is timing out in December. But then I see this, whereas significant irregularities in the KPFK officers' actions to remove and replace at least a third of the recognized KPFK LSB roster since March 2023 with no evidence of compliance with the CICA policy yet found, that gets back to the December 18th issue. Because, again, a monumental, it's only my opinion, of course, a monumental waste of time has been spent on this issue for 6 months of this year. And now we're in a situation where we're going back and essentially, as I see it here, reinstating the folks that were to be, quote, disciplined because of what occurred on the 18th, which I have to note to me is a little difficult to deal with. Hence, you know, you can essentially do whatever you want, whenever you want, and eventually be, you know, given the, you know, the magic wand of a reprieve. So I have to point that out to the listener audience because I just say again that this has caused us a tremendous waste of time for 6 months when we have other more pressing issues like fiscal survival to handle. Thank you.
Next up is Adriana.
Madam Chair, I want to put very clearly there that according to our bylaws, the Robert Rule of Order only apply when our bylaws are not clear. And about the removal of the delegate, it's very clear that need to be without excuse absent from the people at that meeting. But two, we have the second one that is Article 7 and Section 7 that said that when you have a no quorum meeting, the only thing that can be done is to take roll, notice that it's not quorum, and set a new meeting. That is our bylaws. It's nothing ambiguous about that. It means that you cannot even excuse or unexcuse people. That is in our bylaws. Then bringing Robert Rule of Order and different interpretation doesn't work when our bylaws are very clear. In this case, not doesn't matter what people talk about, what people think. The facts are people were removed with one meeting that is the April 2nd, that is a no quorum meeting. It means doesn't count according to our bylaws. And on June 4th, people were removed without the process that our bylaws said that must be applied. That is the bottom line. The rest, what people, their intentions, if people want to, attend to different things, that is a totally different situation that have nothing to do with us. The facts are these people, our investigation committee, realize that is the problem. April 2nd, we can discuss, I believe that wasn't correctly, announced, but that is not even the point. The point is a no quorum, according to our bylaws, doesn't count. The only thing that you can do is just take roll call and decide the next meeting day. It means April 2nd doesn't count. And our bylaws are very clearly the rest. I mean, people need to be removed in certain ways. That didn't happen neither.
All right,
this
thanks.
This investigation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to try and cut people off when I, hear them, like, repeating something that they've already said. So I apologize in advance, but I'm just trying to make sure everybody gets heard. Beth, you're next.
Thank you. I'm going to try to respond to other things that others have said. First, I hear Teresa granting the benefit of the doubt to KPFK officers while impugning the integrity of anyone who does anything other than what they want. That doesn't seem balanced. And I would ask her, are there rules or are there not? I mean, there are definitions of adequate notice. Our bylaws defines adequate notice. Robert's Rules defines adequate notice. The CPB defines adequate notice. And it's not just, did I personally get enough notice to suit me? That's not a standard. So I say we have standards to meet, and that's what the governance is for. I would also point out to Mr. Dingaman that there were three specific delegates who have been subject to disciplinary actions of this PNB or the previous this or the previous and or the previous PNB. But discipline was never the purpose of clarifying a legitimate roster as this PNB did back in March. That discipline was not the objective of that resolution. The point was to try to bring as many people back together and get the process up and running again. I think that there were problems in the way that was implemented, and it didn't work as that intention. Excuse me. But the purpose was not disciplinary action. Also, back to Teresa and notice of the April 2nd meeting, the emergency status was invoked to post that meeting to circumvent KPFK restrictions on posting meetings with less than 7 days' notice, offering the excuse simply, I had problems posting meetings with 7 day notice. This meeting is to ratify officer elections and possibly continue agenda from previous meetings. Close quote. Beyond that, the notice for proposing, the notice proposed for setting aside Robert's rules on continuing an agenda from a previous meeting are also violated in that notice. So it was inadequate compoundly. Yeah, it violated several sets of rules. And just it cannot be considered a legitimate reason for an unexcused absence. Thank you.
Julie, this is Heather. I want to interrupt here for a moment. The speakers, people making comments are supposed to be speaking for 90 seconds. I don't know. I guess Adriana, I don't know who's doing the time. I think it's Adriana. But people are now speaking for about 3 minutes. So... We need to, you know, have better control over that. I just wanted to mention.
Yeah. Thank you. It's not Adriana's timing items. Vanessa, you're next.
So I just want to say that, just to reiterate what both Beth and Adriana have said, in particular Adriana, who read from the bylaws, those are our rules for determining an unexcused absence. And what the LSB did is not consistent with that. So they acted improperly. That's the beginning and the end.
Hello, Chair.
Thanks.
Adriana, time?
Yeah. As luck would have it, Fred's next. So my hand had been up and it, some asshole of a chair put it down.
Actually, not that. I know.
I can't make a joke about myself. Zoom
I don't
put
like
it
you
down.
Calling yourself an asshole.
All right, fine.
Yeah. 5 minutes?
Yeah. 5 minutes.
May everybody finish?
Second.
Yes.
So finish this stuff. You have Fred, you, James Hamilton, and you.
Yes, correct.
And who's timing the individuals? Who's that?
I am, but I can't speak. Every time I speak, my hand goes down.
Okay.
That's why everybody's hands are going down. I've been trying to tell people this, but, you know, there it is.
Thanks, yeah. Beth. That is true, that I think that what Zoom does is it's, you know.
Assumes that you spoke.
It knows that you talked, and so it thinks you're done.
For the information, since I am next, Adriana did go for 3 minutes both times. So did Beth go for 3 minutes both times. I want to thank Vanessa because she only went for 30 seconds last time. My point is that we have dealt with this.
Hang
now.
On. We do need a motion to extend to exhaust the stack. So we got the motion, but I didn't get to say, are there any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of three? Hearing no objections, we'll keep going. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay, we've now spent an hour on this issue, and we've spent many hours on it previously. Arthur did weigh in at one point and said that if a person shows up to a meeting that is not not operated because there weren't enough people to show up that showed up to actually make the meeting function. That didn't matter. That was still part of their agreement that they were going to show up at three consecutive meetings. We've gone through this. Mr. Jacobson was very much involved in the, what I would call aberrant LSB self-appointed.
So Madam Chair.
Adriana, he's not at time, is he?
No.
I mean, we're not at time. What's the interruption?
It's a point of order, Madam Chair. He's not part of the committee. Is he giving a report? Or is he asking questions? What is the...
No. People are speaking. Good. Adriana, I'm ruling your point of order out of order.
I know,
people can speak their
him?
Opinion.
Who's
he doesn't have
him?
To.
Let Fred say what he wants to say.
Yeah. I mean, everybody else got to state their opinion. Fred can state his. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Fred.
It's all right. No worries. So we've gone through this. Mr. Jacobson was involved in a self-appointed LSB. We have discussed this and discussed this and discussed this. And it is going to be a catastrophe if we reinstate him, because then we're going to call into question the election. We're going to call into question everybody who has not been allowed to run for re-election. It's going to be a nightmare. And I frankly think we should table this next month. It will be no longer an issue because we'll have new members, and Beth can't put her hand up now because it's to exhaust the stack.
Thank you. Sagerton's next. And then we're done on this. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just because time is running short doesn't mean that we don't try to do the right thing. People are conflating the fact that we dealt with the question of the recognized board versus the unrecognized board. There were also some disciplinary actions about the fact that the PNB recognized that. This is a different matter. This is a matter of, after the recognized LSB was established, then this issue of unexcused absences came up. I would question the good faith in the way that it came up, but nonetheless, it came up, and that's what we're dealing with. We're not going all the way back to decide about the two LSBs or anything like that. But if we restore the people that should be, were improperly dismissed from that LSB, we'll just go back, and then we don't have to deal with that in December when we try to figure out who continues from the current LSB. If we don't do it now, we're going to have to do it again in December. Might as well do the right thing and do it now. That's all. Thank you.
So I'm next on the stack, and, the point I was going to make, 2 points. The first one is the motion from the committee says something to the effect of, hang on, I just lost it, so I have to. It includes, if I'm reading this properly, includes restoring Eric Jacobson, but also all the other people. And one of the things that it doesn't look like the committee reported on, it's very clear about which meetings Eric Jacobson did and didn't attend, but it's not clear about all the other people. And that's the part where, I agree with what Sagerton just said. But I am a little bit concerned that I don't know enough about the absences of those other folks. I mean, Eric Jacobson came to the March 26th meeting. Even if you take the April 2nd meeting and take that and throw it aside, let's just assume it doesn't count as a meeting. The other folks, if they didn't attend the March 26th meeting, then they are in the category of three unexcused absences in a row. And so that's the part that I'm a little bit more concerned about. And then I guess because Arthur is here, I was hoping Arthur would perhaps weigh in on the idea that whether it would have been inappropriate for Eric Jacobson to come to meetings as an officer of the court, you know, and out of respect for, you know, waiting for the court's ruling. Arthur, do you have any thoughts on that as a fellow attorney?
I mean,
fellow to Eric Jacobs and not me.
I happen to like Eric, but that's not doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so it's not like he would have been in trouble with the court for attending.
The court didn't have any position on it at all.
Okay. Got it.
Thanks. That wasn't the assertion.
Yeah, Beth. Sorry. You know, we reached the end of the stack and I can't let you speak now because we hit the end of the stack and that was what we agreed to. So,
Chairman, I second the motion to restore Eric Jacobson.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
I share your skepticism about the issue of all the other eight people. I mean, that together in this motion, frankly, I can't vote for that.
They are two separate motions, Chair.
They are two separate motions?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Wait a minute. The first motion is, okay. Yeah, I see. The first motion is three whereases and a therefore, and then there's just perhaps one additional blank line, and then there's two whereases and a therefore. Okay, so the first motion, am I correct, covers only Eric Jacobson?
Correct.
Is that right, Beth?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so then as long as it's two separate motions,
Can I just say, I think there's a typographical error in the motion.
That's possible.
It says, it doesn't say to restore Eric. If you read the sentence, it doesn't say that.
Oh, it says, therefore be it resolved that the PNB immediate restoration. So either immediately restores Mr. Eric or orders the immediate restoration.
I move the amendment. Thank you. That was my intention. Thank you, Arthur. Good catch.
So, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB orders the immediate restoration. So it's just missing the word orders. Okay.
It was just that we restore, the intention was that simply that the PNB restore him to his proper seat. I think we have the authority to do that rather than order someone else to do it because that's just asking someone else to resist further.
Okay. So then it would be the edit instead would be immediately restores instead of immediate restoration of.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Are there any objections to the amendment of that wording of the therefore clause? Immediately restores instead of immediate restoration of. Are there any objections? Hearing none, we'll consider the motion amended. We've already had our discussion on the motion, I do believe. Are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to a roll call vote.
Okay, ready, so the amendment
is immediately restores replaces the phrase immediate restoration of.
Point of information. I'm sorry. I may have made a mistake. I thought we were voting on the main motion.
We are voting on the main motion. Nancy was just clarifying because she's taken the notes.
And the amendment passed without objection.
Yes, the amendment passed without objection.
Okay, main motion. Okay. Thank you. Coming up here with the vote.
Can we actually read the main motion, please?
How about if I just read the therefore clause, not all the whereases?
Fine.
Not that it's
that
long.
I just want to know what we're voting on.
Yeah, yeah. Therefore, be it resolved that the PNB immediately restores Mr. Jacobson to his rightful seat as an elected member of the KPFK LSB. That's the
chair. There's another three bits down below that?
Those three bits are a separate motion, Darlene. Thank you, though. I got confused about that, too, but that's a separate motion.
Did both motions get seconded?
No. Sagerton seconded the first motion.
And I seconded the other one, too, but...
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Adriana. Thank you. Okay.
Adriana, what? I'm sorry, what was that, Adriana? She seconded what?
The second motion, but okay. Honestly, we can only have, they're two separate motions, so we really only have one on the floor at a time, so we're... Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Okay. Okay, so now we're doing a roll call vote on the main motion, the first main motion as amended.
Okay. Let me just make one note to myself here. Okay. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Adriana Casanave.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Thank you. James Dingman.
Abstain.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
No.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin.
Abstain.
Thank you. Heather Gray.
Abstain.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. Avelia Jones.
No.
Ali Lexa.
No.
Marianne Martinez?
No.
James McFadden?
Yes.
Darlene Pagano?
No.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Thank you. Sharon Salam?
Does yes mean to have him return?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Egberto Willis? Okay, let's see. Donna Grimes? Egberto Willis? Not there. Seven yes. Seven no, three abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Thank you. Eight yes, seven no, three abstentions.
All right. Let's try to dispense with the second motion quickly here if we can. I don't mean dispense I just mean get to the punchline and vote on it as opposed to, having a lot more discussion.
I think that what we can do with the other one is at least to know, like you asked, the reality of the other members. Can we check if they were present or not and who they are? Who they were present in March 26? Because like you said, we can, if some people were already March 26, at least that part will be okay. No, the way that they dispense people, but I hope that we can, I don't know, we can check about that before voting.
Yeah. So the point is that let's be clear, and because we spent a lot of time talking about that first motion, basically, let's be clear that the resolving clause for the second motion is, therefore be it resolved that all other changes to the recognized KPFK LSB 2023 roster be further invested. So all other means everything but Eric Jacobson, presumably, be further investigated and documented for compliance and reported to the next regular PNB meeting of November 2nd, 2023. So basically, I think this means that the committee would continue working on it and come back, not that we're voting this evening to also restore those other people who aren't even named, honestly. So that, so I think the point is the motion says let's investigate. So
point of information, Chair?
Correct.
Thank you, Adriana, for the second. Go ahead, Darlene.
Is this saying that we're going to open an investigation about the proper seating of all those people that the PNB said are not the LSB? Is that not
no.
the, is that
no.
not
no.
the,
explain, Beth. Go ahead, Beth, Thank explain.
You. This looks only at the changes that have taken place after the PNB approved the roster back at the end of March, because there have been changes. At least a third of the LSB has been changed, always outside of meetings without any documentation or explanation for the changes. They've removed people to the point where they've run out of runners up. So we actually were short of members because they don't have enough, and they didn't prevent them from removing people. So this is just simply to ask for and document any explanation, any changes that have been made and explanations for it. And if they can provide all that, then maybe they can, you know, justify everything they've done. And this would give them the opportunity to verify and exonerate their account. And if not, we need to.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Dingaman, sorry.
Started in December of last year, and so why is the exclusion of January, February, and March? Because already we have four months of when this whole affair was in motion, and people were making decisions to include and exclude people starting 18th of December. So why should that not be also part of the equation to be that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Hang on, I will. That's a good question, Dingaman. I think the reason is because the PNB passed a motion in March, I don't remember the exact date, but to say,
23rd.
here's who is on the recognized LSB for KPFK, you know, to restore order, that might even have been part of the title of the motion, to restore order so that we, you know, so that we could get the KPFK LSB back to meeting because, you know, basically they hadn't done anything, like they didn't elect officers to committees, they didn't elect directors, that blah, 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 you know. And so, you know, I think it was the PNB was like, we can't not have a functioning KPFK LSB. And so, frankly, I don't think there really were meetings in that period, but even if there were, it doesn't really matter. The point is we said who the legitimate LSB was in March. And so that's, you know, that's why the first meeting, you know, kind of on this list was, March 26th because we hadn't acted previously. So, that's the answer.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I attended those meetings that happened after December. And people basically view any decision that was made by this body as illegitimate. So I have to put that in the mix because they were meeting. They kept on meeting. They were making decisions and excluding people and including people on their own trajectory. And yeah. They were likely moving along up to March 3rd.
I understand your point, except. Those were not meetings of the legitimate KPFK LSB, and the PNB, didn't recognize the actions that they took. So I think, you know, that's the answer there. And, you know, anyway, so the question is, do we need to have further discussion of this motion, or can we go to a vote of this motion? Because it has been seconded.
May I clarify? The question that just came from Mr. Dingaman.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. This motion isn't about Ziri's LSB. This is about, as I said in the motion, it's about the recognized roster. And this takes us back to the last agreement that we as the PNB had on that roster, and just asks for clarification and documentation of any changes that have taken place since then. And so it's not about whatever any other body is doing.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Just asking for more information.
Folks, I really would like to go to a vote on this motion without further discussion, because it's already 10:30, which is when we said we were going to go into closed session, and there's another motion on the agenda, which is not a 5-minute motion. So let me, I see that there are a bunch of hands up. Are people prepared to vote on this motion?
Yes.
All right.
I have a point of information.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Has any of those other people, unlike what you say happened with Eric Jacobson, has any of those people asked to or attempted to attend or asked to be put back on?
I can't answer that question. Beth, do you know the answer?
There's been a lot of discussion about it. I don't know that I would put it in the form of a request, but there's ongoing discussion, and each person is different. Each person's interpretation is different, their position on the other LSB and this LSB. All individuals, to paint everybody with one broad brush wouldn't be accurate at all. People could be spoken.
Madam Chair, I would like to say something before the vote.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Madam Chair, the board that we selected attempted very hard to get meetings going with people that did not attend and therefore at times was worried about quorum, okay? And Eric Jacobson, in my opinion, I have not seen anything from him. I'm sorry about what Beth says, but I've not seen anything from him saying that he wanted back on the board. So Beth is speaking for him. Fine, I can deal with that. But none of these other people has literally said anything, and I think that because of the situation involving the court case and a second board. I don't know who attended those meetings or who's considered themselves on that board, but it's been very confusing. And we have a board that we said was going to conduct business, and they tried really hard to make quorum. So I don't understand why we would need to carry water for somebody, so for a group of people that have not even spoken up and said, hey, I want back on this board.
What is the point of, Teresa, we have people asking for the floor, the hands up, and Teresa talking in front of everybody about a motion when we said that we will vote. I don't understand, Madam Chair, what the idea
is.
The staff is 5 cards.
Okay, so Teresa asked the point of information and then said, may I say something? And I allowed her to say something. And so, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. That's what happened. Okay? All right. Okay.
My apologies.
We need, stop. If we're going to discuss this motion further, we need a motion to extend time for the purpose of discussing this motion.
I will ask for a vote.
He calls a question.
Call the question. So is there a second to calling the question?
Did I call?
Yeah. I'll call the question, Alan.
And I'll second it.
I'll second.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Calling the question. So now we need a vote on calling the question. And so that is, whether we're gonna, have any further, a vote yes on calling the question means to stop debate, and a vote no means that we could have discussion on this second motion.
Who called the question?
Teresa called the question and Fred seconded it, or vice versa, either way.
Oh.
Because I think they both did it both ways.
Can you ask if there's any objections to it?
Are there any objections to calling the question? Hearing
yes.
No objections to call. Oh, there is.
Yes.
Was that Vanessa? Okay.
Yeah, nice.
All right. So we need to go to a roll call vote now.
If no one else objects, then it doesn't matter.
I object because Teresa gave her opinion and not any of us. Yes, I object.
Chair, okay, point of order in the form of a question.
Okay, I don't know that there is such a thing as a point of order in the form of a question,
okay.
But okay.
So I'm questioning whether Teresa, who was the one who was calling the question, was recognized at the time that she called the question.
I'm sorry, it's 11 o'clock, well, it's 10:37, and I don't have the foggiest idea. And
because if not, then she cannot legitimately call the question.
Well, then I call the question.
So hang on. But stop, let me finish. But I allowed it to be seconded, and so that's as if I had recognized, or if I had said when someone else seconded it, that it wasn't on the floor, so it couldn't be seconded, then that would be a fair point. So, the calling of the question is on the floor, and we have objections to calling the question. So Nancy, will you take the roll call vote?
Oh, 1 second. My computer is about to, I gotta get my charger. Hang on.
Okay. So again, folks, a vote yes means that we're ending debate, and a vote no means we will continue to discuss.
I'm coming. Hang on. Take a deep breath, everybody.
Madam Chair, Adriana, with a point of personal privilege.
Go ahead.
Can I ask you specifically? You know, we have some members that jump in front of everybody without being recognized, and they are being rewarded because whatever happened, we keep going. Is there any way that we can follow? And when people are not on YouTube,
it's not a point of personal.
Yes, there is a way,
please,
and it
please.
Is to find a more perfect human being to be your chair. Good luck. Okay. Are you ready, Nancy?
I'm ready.
I will
go
jump
for it.
Whenever I want to. Good.
Now we're voting now. Go ahead, Nancy.
Teresa Allen.
I'm sorry. A vote yes is to end debate.
Calling the question.
Yes, correct.
Okay, I say yes.
Adriana Casanet.
Yes.
Pass. Was that a pass? Did you pass?
Yes, was it pass?
Thank you. James Dingman.
Abstain.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Fred Dodsworth.
Yes to ending debate.
A good one.
Abstain.
Heather Gray.
Yes.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. Velia Jones.
Yes.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Thank you. James McFadden.
Abstain.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Don Rhodes?
Yes.
Thank you. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Thank you. Sharon Salam?
Yes.
Thank you. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Thank you. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Abstain.
Roberto Willis?
Yes.
Okay.
Please note, Roberto, join the...
Sorry, did you want to change your vote, Fred?
No, I said, please note that Egberto has joined us.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Egberto, did you want to vote to call the question?
Oh, I said yes.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Indiana say no.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah. 12 yes, 2 no, 4 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll abstain.
Thank you. 12 yes.
Okay.
12 yes, 2 no, 5 abstentions.
Yep, so the question is called. So that means we go immediately to a vote of on the motion. Let me first see if there are any objections to the motion.
Yes.
Okay. Are there objections other than Fred's objection?
Dasaki, no.
I object.
Maybe we should go to a roll call vote.
Absolutely.
Nancy.
Julie, okay. Can we read the motion, please?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I'll read the whole thing because it's been a while. Whereas significant irregularities in the KPFK officer's actions to remove and replace at least a third of the recognized KPFK LSB roster since March 2023 with no evidence of compliance with Pacifica policy yet found. And whereas to reduce potential liability and assure compliance with Pacifica bylaws, Pacifica policy, and the law, the PNB investigative committee advises therefore, be it resolved that all other changes to the recognized KPFK LSB 2023 roster be further investigated and documented for compliance and reported to the next regular PNB meeting of November 2nd, 2023. Okay. Yes means vote for the motion. No means you're opposed to it. Go ahead, Nancy.
Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Thank you. Adriana Casanay. I didn't hear what you said, Adriana. It didn't come through clearly.
Pass.
Thank you. James Stingman.
Yes.
Thank you. Vanessa Jackson Brig.
Yes.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth.
No, emphatically.
Thank you. Come on now. Goodwin.
Abstain.
Thank you. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. Avelia Jones.
No.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
No.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Thank you. James McFadden.
Yes.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Thank you. Sharon Salam.
I'm not clear on what yes means.
I mean, yes means to vote for the second motion.
Investigation.
Which is investigation of, to continue the investigation.
of what happened to other members. Is that correct, Julie?
Yeah, and then report at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. I go along with that.
So you vote yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Haki Tanaka?
No.
No, is that correct?
Yes. No.
I got you as a no, Aki. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
Thank you. Egberto Willis?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see.
Back to
the name.
Yes.
Yes, Adriana Casanave says yes, correct? Okay, let's see. Donna Grimes, okay. Okay, so we have, wait a minute, that's not right. Okay, 9 yes, 8, 1 abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Sorry, say the vote count again, please.
9 yes, 8 no, 1 abstention.
So if I vote no, it fails because it's tied. And if I abstain, it passes. Is that right?
Correct.
I abstain.
Okay.
What a shame.
9 yes, 8 no, 2 abstentions.
Madam Chair, Adriana?
We're moving on to the next agenda item.
I know. But should we stand because we decide to go to executive session?
So we've got three things, I'm sorry, of substance left on the agenda, and it's 10:49. One is the ED report and Q&A.
Yes.
The general counsel report and Q&A, although I'm not sure Arthur has anything. And then Jim Dingaman's motion, which is under new business. And so we would need to either agree to extend the open session, and we can pick another time certain, or we could, you know, we could decide that we want to do some of these or postpone them. Postpone them to the next meeting. So that's basically the choice before us. Go ahead, Adriana.
I'm sorry, but I didn't have time to read the executive session. Do we have anything in executive session that is very important that we have to get into that?
We don't really. Yeah, it would be mostly, we have some minutes to approve. And then it would be the confidential portion of the ED report and general counsel. So
we can extend it means a little bit this one then.
I'm sorry, I missed that last question.
We can extend this a little bit then. We will have time to extend this.
Correct. We don't have something. Okay. We don't have something that's super burning on the close set. Well, we do have things that I know we have things that, like, for example, that Stephanie wanted to raise in closed session. So it's not that we have nothing, but it's not like what we talked about last week. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Perfect.
Other information?
I mean, not last week, 2 weeks ago. Yes, Fred.
You'll need to find somebody else to time people. I'm going to bail.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. So we would need a motion to extend to cover these other items in open session. So I'm open to hearing a motion to extend the open session.
Move to extend. James?
Yeah, but you have to say for to cover what or... I had the ED... I had the ED report for 20 minutes. I had the general council report for 10 minutes and then the new business item.
I have no report.
Okay. Okay. So you could...
Julie, can I just move to extend for 10 minutes or 15? Let's make it 15. Because Julie's, Stephanie's report is usually short.
That seems fine.
Okay. So moved.
Is there a second to Sagerton's motion to extend for 15?
Alan will second.
Thank you, Teresa. All right. Are there any objections to the motion to extend the open session for 15 more minutes? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. So ED report. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, 15 minutes. How many minutes is report 20?
15 is what we extended. So even though it says 20 minutes on the agenda, 15 is all we got.
For the executive director.
For the whole, yes.
I will lock the car.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank KPFT. I was in Houston over the weekend for some personal reasons and they opened up their Southern Charm and Hospitality, and I went into the station on Monday and was happy to meet with some of the listeners as well as with Sandy Weineman and other staff members. So I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to the day that there is enough funding within our Pacifica world, that I can do other travels to the other stations. So I appreciate KPFT for allowing me to come in and visit. With the ED report that was sent out to everyone, we start off with our payables. As of today, we have approximately, not counting with any of the FJC or the EIDL loans, we have approximately $1,218,937 in aged payables. Not, some of them are aged, some of them are a little bit more current, but the form here breaks down what they are, what the amount is, and then any sort of notes on the far right. With our loans, we have roughly $166,000 in unpaid interest. That was due, about $166,000 in unpaid interest that was due prior last year. And then this year to date, we have about $117,000 in unpaid interest. The total amount due with that FJC loan is a little over $2.8 million. With the EIDL funding, we have roughly $61,000 in unpaid interest at this point. So our total loans, including the full principal of the FJC, is about $2.8 million. Also on the ED report are division financials as of today and central service payments that were made for fiscal year 23. We have roughly the total bank balance for all of the divisions totals about $467,300. The part that I added to this, which is kind of interesting, is that the unpaid National Office Central Services for fiscal year 23 is $1.2 million. It's $1,207,395. And we had roughly about $294,000 that was paid in fiscal year 23. The total fiscal year 23 national office budget was $1.3 million. So if we kind of at that point just see very briefly and very quickly in just a few frames here or a few cells, that if central services were paid, then we would be able to have the national office budget, which then would have allowed us to be able to pay for our liability insurance, keep up to date on the health insurance, get the audit done, get the, you know, everything that we need with that. So that does kind of show in a quick nutshell and summary the importance of central service payments.
We're still in the process of consolidating the division bank accounts. Marquisha and I had another meeting this morning with Bank of America, so that should be soon or finished soon. We still have not started the audit just because we do not have the funds to pay the audit firm, which is $75,800. But the state of Secretary of State, again, has continued to agree to extend our deadline for that submission. One of the things I'm still awaiting conversations with the CAB updates. I'm still awaiting conversations with WBAI and the WPFW reps. So hopefully that will be finished this week and I'll be able to have that completed report and their answers by the next meeting. One of the things that I would like to roll out for this upcoming and incoming PNB membership and the board of directors and the upcoming LSB members is a PNB governance handbook. That would be for the entire PNB, including those members that are remaining on the board and also those incoming members. From that, I want to sort of branch that off to have an LSB governance handbook for all current and incoming LSB members. And what this handbook will include is, a welcome packet, basically, who would have a copy of Pacifica's bylaws. It would provide also a link to Robert's Rules of Orders. We would also have a roles and responsibilities statement of volunteers that are in governance. It would also include the non-disclosure agreement, the conflict of interest policy and agreement, the whistleblower policy, our DEI statement, a basic history of the Pacifica Foundation and information on each division, key staff and a personnel roster. I would also request updated contact information for each of the members, so there could, and also a written bio and a headshot so we could create a board roster. I'd also like to have a description of standing committees and the expectations and job descriptions for committee members, and also just kind of a brief code of ethics, which would include an overview of Pacifica's mission statement, our vision statement, cultural values and principles, the responsibility that we all have to the communities that we serve, and also a basic code of conduct, which kind of outlines the necessity to conform with the bylaws when you sit on a board, and or any applicable resolutions. Again, a description of our confidentiality policy, conflict of interest disclosures, basic topics on professional communication descriptions, meaning how to have mutual respect, courtesy, and cooperative attitudes toward each other's staff and volunteers. And then in that, I would also like to have the links that are given to the mandatory sexual harassment prevention and DEI training for all members. And I would like to be able to have that training be done within 90 days of being seated, as well as all the agreements signed and returned within those 90 days. So we'll probably discuss this a little bit further within the closed session as to, how we can enforce that completion within 90 days. But I would just like to be able to have, again, a nice welcoming packet for the board members. And by creating a roster with photos, we would then be able to have the board members at least have a little bit of a link to each other. So that's all I have in my report.
Thank you, Stephanie. So I see some hands. I see Sue Goodwin, Vanessa, Adriana, and Jim Dingman. Go ahead, Sue.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
This may not be the right time to say this, but it's something I've been wanting to say for a long time. I just haven't found the right way to do it. I've been in these PNB meetings for I don't know how long now, and it appears to me we seem consumed with our own process. We spend hours and hours talking about who should be on what board, who should talk when, why, for how long. We never get to the business of what we're supposed to be doing, which is helping this network deal with its finances, developing national products that promote our brand. Does anyone else share this concern? And how can we get past it?
Hear, hear, Sue.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, you're getting the clapping hands from Adriana as well. I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt. I do have to, I understand process is important. It is the foundation for a democratic process. So I get that part, but we have got to figure out a way to be more efficient.
And I do think that Stephanie's notion of, you know, having board handbooks really sort of would help people understand what their role is on a board. And if we, you know, that could go a long way. I mean, it's an experiment worth trying, right? Because it could go a long way towards, you know, helping people understand what are you supposed to do when you're on these boards? And so, anyway, I don't disagree one little bit with what you're saying there.
This may not be the right time, but let's get to this at some point, okay?
That trickles down also to the committees. If we have a good expectation and job description, basically, of what your role is on a committee and what that committee's role is, that would then be able to help streamline things as well. If committees had tasks, you know, I would love to be able to have the personnel committee work on revamping the employee handbook. I've already gone through and did a draft with that when we had an HR department, but we need the committee to sort of take a look at that, to help rewrite everyone's job descriptions, to help create an org chart and have these expectations of what is needed at each level of each of the committees. And then when we have committee reports that are coming on this level, the local committees can then report what they've done, not just discussed, but what they've done to the national version of that committee. And then we can actually have tasks that are being done when those reports are then coming on the national level. So I truly agree that we need to have actual working committees, not just discussing committees, where we can try to get some of this, some of this work done moving forward. All the committees. I didn't just pick on the personnel committee, but when, you know, I listed, I want to have a description of the committees and the expectations for those committee members. That's exactly what that is. These are the tasks that need to be done at this point. And we're here to, you know, we're here to help with that. The staff members that are here.
Thanks, Sue. Next I see Adriana.
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. I have some questions. The first one is, did you start the process of evaluating the GMs?
Yes.
Okay, that is the first one. The second one is, I can see here for what you sent to us about the financials. Again, I need to really applaud KPFD because I can see that at July 31st is the only station that is in the black. All the others are in red, right?
Correct.
That is the report that you gave us. And like you said, I hope that people understand if they pay the ones that can, if they pay the central service, like you said, we will not have the problems that we have. We cannot start the audit because we are short $75,800. And we have more than almost a million and a quarter in debt from central services. I mean, people need to understand that we need to have audits. It's nothing that we can play with this issue. And I hope that you keep repeating, and I hope that people keep understanding that. And thank you. And some of the, what you say, I agree with practically everything that you said. But one of the big problems that I see in this foundation is not only that we don't have rules. Sometimes we have rules, but it's like, another group of people come and everybody change. I was going through motions of the PNB over the years, and a lot of these issues were already resolved. But it's like the new group starts and, you know, people come to the PNB, to the LSV and the PNB without even knowing what the bylaws are, how to look for the bylaws. We know that, you know, and that is outrageous, really. I mean, why you want to be in a board of the foundation if you don't know what your rules are? I agree with you. That should be a package that should be, KPFD was doing that a long time ago for new LSP members, and I think that that will be really helpful. Thank you.
Sorry, next is Dingman.
Thank you. It sounds great, Stephanie. You know, these packages obviously are needed. I just wanted to raise to the listener audience that the motion that I had put forth was to have national programming around the issue of this war going on in the Middle East. And that is to initiate and not depend on local stations to do this completely, because people tend to defer that, but do something similar to what happened in March of 1965 when the Vietnam teaching movement broke out in Michigan University and then throughout the United States. And that exemplifies, we just spent 2 hours fighting over basically political control.
Listen to me.
And to me, the central issue is we have lost from 2004 to now from 100,000 paid members to 30,000 paid members. And from 2008 to this time, we have lost 700 to 400% of our hold in every metro market and every station area we're in. So to me, the broadcasting issues are paramount. This is gets to the kind of issues that Susan raised. That to me, all this other stuff is secondary to the fact of how much impact we're having on the audiences we broadcast to. And that can be demonstrated, as we all know, by the metrics that show that we're not having that impact. So it's great to have these packets go out. It's great for people to talk about governance. But if we're not resonating with our broadcasting in the metro in to an extent to fiscally recover from the problem we're having, you know, I just have to raise that as a basic problem to be solved. My question would be, where are we at with the CPB money?
Nothing has been announced as of yet.
All right, thank you.
I don't see any other hands with questions for Stephanie, so going once, going twice. All right. We've used up most of our 15 minutes, I'm sure at this point.
We are short 6 minutes from what we approved. No, I'm sorry, 4 minutes.
We still have four minutes.
Yes.
Okay, so Arthur says he doesn't have an open session, report. And so then the next item on the agenda was Jim Dingaman's motion, which,
so many
minutes. I don't know if we can deal with this in 4 minutes, but, it's item 9A in the appendix.
Can we start?
I'm sorry, Adriana.
Can we start? I said because it's 4 minutes.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. We can start, but I don't think we're going to dispense with this in 4 minutes. Are you, Dingaman,
we're not going to be able to do it in 4 minutes. I'll certainly be happy to read it and motivate it and leave it like that. But that's precisely an issue I raised to all of us because we are a broadcasting institution and we should be talking about what we can do to break out of our cocoon. Now, what I put forth is a motion. Maybe you could read it. I'm having problems, Julie, getting it up in terms of the draft.
I got it right here.
Yeah. Could you just read it then?
Sure.
And then if you could read it, just exclude that mission part statement, although I would think that's important, but you know, just get to the, it's not that long.
Oh, okay. You're right. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 1, 2, 3 paragraphs that are in, whereas clauses. And then, no, is that right? Yeah. And then, a resolving clause that's three paragraphs. So, and as Jim noted, the second and third of the whereas clauses are really like a quote from the, I'm going to read it anyway, because I think it's important. And I thought of reading it just, you know, given what's happening in the Middle East right now. So here you go. Whereas the current outbreak of warfare in the Middle East cries out for the Pacifica Foundation to use this opportunity to engage in mass education with the American and global public of the conflict. And whereas in Article 2 of the Pacifica Articles of Incorporation, the mission statement states, in radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this foundation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. Still in the Articles of Incorporation, in radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. Be it resolved that the Pacific Foundation will organize and broadcast several days of full all-day programming with adequate publicity to serve the public interest in exploring the full context and complexities with all points of view expressed to fully understand the issues raised by the Arab/Israeli/Palestinian conflict. This will be jointly planned throughout the network and the affiliates and will be must-carry programming. The spirit of this would be the same ethos that animated the teach-in movement in 1965 to educate the public on the Vietnam War. So that's Dingaman's motion.
I want to second that motion. Adriana.
All right. Let me just quickly motivate.
Adriana seconded. I'm sorry. I didn't understand at first what she said, but go ahead. Okay. Now that it's right. Second, go ahead and motivate.
All right, let me quickly motivate it. This issue is one that has been of great difficulty for the foundation for 50 plus years. I go back to the Ocean Hill-Brownsville controversy in New York, where there was a big fight over a poem that a kid read over the airwaves. And so these issues are extremely difficult to talk about. We know that. I grew up in New York, as did other people. So I'm well aware of how intractable and difficult these issues are to explore. And I'm talking about a full, all points of view. That includes Israelis. That includes mainstream Zionists. That includes, people beyond the normal cast of characters that we have on the air. I'm talking about really having a national debate. And I'm talking about several days of programming, not just one day, not just a couple of hours. Admittedly, it's tough to implement this because we know it hits the fiscal ability of our stations to raise money. I would frankly argue that we go out and ask for financial support for doing such a project from major foundations because this is in the interest of the public in the country to explore this issue. I don't have to tell you the controversies that are going on around the country. I don't have to tell you about the divisions that are raised by this. Look what happened in Chicago. A six-year-old kid gets killed by his landlord. I mean, things like this, or people being beaten up in campuses. So I just argue that this is something important for us to talk about and explore in depth in its full complexity with the American public.
All right. Sue, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Look, of course, Jim is right. We as a network should, as the premier peace radio network, we should be presenting powerful programming. how we do it and how we do it well is the next discussion. I'm not sure a full day, Jim, I gotta tell you, I'm not sure that's the right, I'm not saying it's not, but I'm not sure that is the right way to go. Is there another way to go? And I hope you all I'm sure you all realize we may be into a ground invasion quite soon. It is likely at this point in time. So we need to be able to respond to that. So what is the next step is some kind of editorial group, small group, that can put together workable ideas. How do we move on that?
May I suggest an approach?
Go ahead.
I've been a member of the university seminar on the Middle East at Columbia University now for 15 years. So I'm in touch with communities of scholars in this area throughout the United States and, frankly, into Europe and the Middle East. But that's just me. There's other people, too. And I think that we can really open up, you know, to other people. And I do agree that it's difficult. The stations are doing this already, I'm sure, right now. But I'm talking about something that can brand us and burst us out of our isolation as a network. I'm talking about something that collectively can do great things and powerful things to change the perception of this network by the general public of the United States. And I'm talking about bringing conservatives in. I'm talking not just simply the same old cast of characters, which I am part of, by the way. I certainly agree with the opinions of most of the people we have on the air. But I'm talking about really having a national debate. So, admittedly, it's an arduous task, but it's a task that frankly has been underway since the 7th of October here in New York with a number of us. So, I'd love to collaborate with others. Maybe we can do it through the National Programming Committee, but, I really think that we have an opportunity here and we don't have to repeat the mistakes we made when we tried to do that national fundraising 2 years ago with the general managers and the PDs, which I have to admit, I know we're in public session, but had not as much of the optimal impact that we wanted it to have. This, I think we can hit it out of the ballpark if we work together.
All right. Ed, forgive me, but I have to ask, what is the next step? We need to create not a big group, a small group of editors, programmers representing each station to decide what is the best programming we can produce right now as a network. How do we do it and when do we start? But we got to create that opportunity to collaborate. How do we do it? Do we pick someone from each station? Help me. What do we do?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Sue, and we're going to have to stop talking about this soon, but I think one of the things that we did, I mean, this predates me being on the PNB, but, you know, people pulled together pulled together the COVID Race and Democracy program pretty quickly and, you know, got it on the air, and I think, you know, maybe we should think about starting with something like that and having I love your idea, Jim, of like a full day of programming or several full days of programming, but maybe the thing to do is to start with something like the COVID Race and Democracy Project where, I don't remember how much time it was, but it was like an hour and I don't remember precise frequency, you know, it was weekly, I think, but, any rate, you know, it was a jointly produced program and, you know, it was a way that people pulled together. Maybe we need something exactly like that. As it, you know, I don't know what others think about that as a model. And if it goes well, then you expand the amount of time because you get, you know, you've got enough to talk about, right? Does that make sense?
I'm talking about something more grand than that, but anyway, other people probably want to weigh in.
I know you mean more grand than that. So, okay. So Adriana's right. In the middle of what I was saying, time ran out. So, So I just
want to jump back in and say, I really like what Julie said. I really like what Jim is saying. I don't know what the right way to go is, but I am confident that if we can get together with a group of people representing every station in a very short time, we will figure out, is it daily programming? Is it weekly programming? Is it a full day of programming? First, we got to decide what our goal is, what we can do, what's workable, and then do it, right? But we've got to get to that first conversation.
All right. May I make a suggestion, Julie?
Make a suggestion, Jim. Go ahead.
Through the National Programming Committee, you know, those members of the National Programming Committee, we start talking about this right now, right away. The station's all already doing this. I mean, I've been on air now several times in New York since the 7th. And, you know, temporarily I was doing that. But we can all work together. I'm talking about people in Texas, Berkeley, Los Angeles, and beyond, okay? Because usually we will take the anti-colonial, pro-Palestinian point of view, which is fine. All the scholars I've interviewed so far have been Palestinian. But I want to broaden that because it's a complicated issue to explore, and I want to get beyond the intractability of it, which, frankly, goes right into the essence of the mission statement. That's the essence of the mission statement, to try to bridge these causes of conflict. But why don't we leave it like that? I don't know if, can I at least call the question, and then we can move from there. And, you know, I know it's a flexible thing. We can alter it. I'm not talking about a covert race and democracy thing, because that I have a I'm talking about something grander than that. I'm talking about something that's, you know, maybe that's an offshoot of it, but I'm talking about something that's much more ambitious.
Fair enough. Part of the reason, Jim, why I read, you know, the paragraphs from the Articles of Incorporation was precisely because I think you're exactly right that, you know, it cuts right to the mission. There couldn't be any programming that we would do that would be more aligned with at least those two paragraphs of the mission. I mean, there's some other stuff in our mission statement too, but, and I get it, you know, wanting to do something more grand.
Julie, okay, so, this is Heather. I just want to mention, yep, the chair of the programming committee. I'm going to be in touch with Jim and Sue, and we'll arrange a meeting next week. Or Jim, whatever, Sue, and we'll talk about that, see how we can move forward on this. I just want to mention. Okay?
Okay.
Chair, point of order, please.
Yes, Vanessa.
Can anyone on the stack be recognized?
So the problem is we ran out of time, right?
And move to exhaust the stack.
Second.
Okay, so are there any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack, which is Vanessa, Heather, Vanessa, and Adriana?
I just took myself off, Julie.
Yep.
It's all right.
Okay, it's just Vanessa. So are there any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack of Vanessa? Hearing no objections, go ahead, Vanessa.
Thank you so much, Chair and everyone. I just wanted to say that I completely endorse Jim's idea. He wrote an email earlier today, which gave me an opportunity to sort of voice an opinion in that forum. And I want to voice an opinion in this forum. I have been so disturbed by what's going on, and just starved for information that I could tolerate. I can't tolerate what I hear on CNN and MSNBC. So like where, and I'm not hearing it. I have not been listening to Democracy Now, so I have to exempt that. But on our stations, it's our programming is going on as usual to me, as though nothing is happening, and something is very definitely happening. So I've resorted to NPR, and they've really given some good coverage that I've really appreciated, trying to put the issue in context, and also to C-SPAN. So I'm like, where's Pacifica? This is what we're supposed to do. So I think that following through with Jim's motion serves two purposes. One, it fulfills our mission. This is what we're supposed to be doing. It allows us to fulfill our mission. And I think that by doing so, it's a very timely opportunity to look at it sort of selfishly. And I think we can generate some added listenership and some audience appeal to hear what's being said. So I wholeheartedly endorse what Jim wants to do, what he's proposing to do.
All right. Why don't I call the question?
So calling the question means we end debate, but the point, so in some sense, we don't need to because we're out of time. The only question, is Dingaman, were you calling the question because you wanted us to go to a vote on your motion right now?
Well, I, yeah, because.
Or are you willing to just sort of do some organizing and then, and,
Alright, just to answer your question, Katia and, Linda are cooperating completely right now.
Right.
There has been, as Arthur knows, there's been dedicated programs on, in New York, starting from, the 8th of October. I did a one hour show with Rashid Halidi and another member of the Journal of Palestine Studies editorial board. And everybody has been chiming in on this. I have a feeling the same thing's going on in Berkeley. To some extent in Los Angeles, Houston, I can't report on, but I know that there's been a collaboration between New York and PFW. It's already in motion, and I will be more than happy to share the links of those shows that we've done so far. And so that you can get them, Vanessa. And then I've also, with the University Seminar in New York, we're going to start doing a daily thing, which Gary Sick is the person I'm working with. He's the former national security advisor for President Carter during the Iran hostage crisis. He's 100% in favor of this. And all the different scholars of the Middle East I talk to, they light up when I mention this. So we can get this already in motion. All this is in motion. We just have to, further, get it.
Just accept it, Madam Chair. Just the PNB accept the motion and then, people can work this out. But the PNB, we can accept directly this motion, right? We don't need to keep discussing this.
Exactly.
I think that all of us agree.
Right.
That this is something necessary.
I think that's a fair point. What I don't know though is whether if we put Jim's motion to a vote, it would pass or not. That's my only concern, right? So I have no problem with people kind of informally, trying to organize, along the lines of what Dingaman's suggesting, right? And to get a lot of cooperation going. I think this is a moment that we should be seizing absolutely positively, but I don't know.
Can you ask if some people in the board doesn't feel that they want to vote for this motion, we will have that. But if not, I don't hear any.
No, that's fair. So let me just find out, is there anyone who's, I guess I'm basically asking in a way that we would be voting on the motion. Are there any objections to Jim Dingaman's motion?
Yes, I am thinking of suggesting an alternative motion. And should it be that there is an immediate convening of the programming committee, thank you, Heather, and we bring Jim into this discussion, and when I say immediate, I mean within the next 2 to 3 days, to set out what is the programming priorities for this network through this war.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Damon.
I don't see any of these incompatible with each other, frankly. What she's suggesting, I would totally agree with. And then what I'm suggesting, I think, unless people really have a problem with it, it would also allow all the units to cooperate with each other. How novel that is to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, So the only thing, Dingaman, that I think is, potentially, I really love the idea of collaborating and cooperating, but I think the notion of, telling the stations that this is must carry programming, I, like, I would rather, instead of the PNB telling them that it has to be carried, to have the, to have it be organic and, you know, that it, you know, from the ground up, that it, they put together programming that they want to carry, right? That the individual stations are, you know, working together so that there's, we don't have to say must carry. It'll just be like so compelling that everyone will want to carry it, right? That's my point.
All right. Madam Chair, I know that, Charlene. That's inadequate in this situation because, and I have no doubt that people will do compelling programming, but where's the national scope? Where are we looking at our overall problems nationally? We've been spending 2 years doing that in this configuration of the board. Most of us have been doing this. And one of the issues that comes up is here's an opportunity for us as a network to really stamp and act as a network to have a positive impact on the debate of this issue in the United States and frankly around the world if we do our job right. So I just think that this is an unparalleled opportunity, and to just delegate it back down to the stations would say, decide, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I think must carry is something that has to be placed in it. And, you know, if people don't want to have a must carry on an issue that could cause a nuclear war, that's interesting to me, that they would, have that opinion. And I have to assert that this is a situation, given the global, interactions with this and the war in Ukraine, frankly, that raised the temperature level of that happening to a heightened level. So I would not budge on the must carry. I think that, and we can be flexible about it, but, you know, let's cooperate with each other. Let's cooperate with each other.
Yes, Madam Chair, can we vote on that?
Okay, so the point is that Sue Goodwin wanted to make a substitute motion, and she did, but I don't remember hearing that it was seconded, so
I'll second it.
Okay, so all right, fine. So implicit in this, folks, is that we've extended time you know, for another 15 minutes or something. We've already gone past what we were supposed to be in terms of extending the stack, because that was back, that ended back with Vanessa. So anyway, okay, what we're going to do is, now that we've got a second of Sue Goodwin's substitute motion, where I'm going to say Sue Goodwin's substitute motion is all the whereas clauses, and instead of Jim's be it resolved, it's be it resolved that there be an immediate convening of the programming committee within 2 to 3 days to set out what are the programming priorities.
And I want to elaborate on one point about my suggestion. Sure. Jim's suggestion, which is a very good one, but it relies on the assumption that one day programming makes a big difference. I'm not convinced that's true, because that also relies on our ability to promote it. We need to just ask those questions. What type of programming will make the most difference at this point of time? We need to do it quickly and then collaborate.
Madam Chair, okay. I'm sorry, but we keep discussing, and we already passed 25 minutes what we approved.
Yeah. No, we didn't approve anything yet. We passed what we approved in terms of time extension. Yes,
exactly.
Of course.
Exactly. The time extension, we have 25
minutes. Okay, I got your point. You don't have to say it three times, Adriana.
We cannot keep jumping. We decide something.
If you would stop talking, I can go on to the next point, which is to say,
the last 25 minutes.
Sue Goodwin, her motion has been seconded, and so now we're going to vote on Sue Goodwin's substitute motion. And so the question is, if you're voting yes for this, that means you're replacing Dingman's motion with this motion, Sue's substitute.
I don't know the difference, Madam Chair. Tell me basically.
Okay. Okay.
I want it in writing.
I hear you loudly and clearly. Adriana, you do not have to repeat it in three different ways. I understood what you said. Jim says, be it resolved that if you speak over me, then no one will hear what I'm saying. Jim's resolving clause, all right, that's it. I'm just going to mute you. Jim's resolving clause says, be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation will organize and broadcast several days of full all-day programming with adequate publicity to serve the public interest in exploring the full context and complexities with all points of views expressed on the conflict. I'm paraphrasing slightly. This will be jointly planned throughout the network and affiliates and will be must-carry programming. The spirit would be the same as what animated the ethos that animated the teaching movement in 1965. Okay, Suze, instead of that, says, be it resolved that there be an immediate convening of the programming committee within 2 to 3 days to set out what are the programming priorities and the type of programming that would make a difference. And what type of programming would make a difference. And determine what type of programming would make a difference. How's that? Okay, and okay, so that's Sue Goodwin's substitute motion. Let me first see, are there any objections to Sue's substitute motion?
Yes, I object.
Oh, dear.
Okay, I heard Dingaman object. Did you object to Adriana?
Yes.
Okay. Can we go to a roll call vote, Nancy? And this is for Sue's substitute motion. And I just, hit. Okay, so a few minutes ago, there was a whole bunch of background noise, and so I muted a whole bunch of people where I could see their background noise. So Teresa wants to be unmuted. I said ask to unmute, but that's all I can do on. I can't actually unmute. So if someone could pull up the email and tell me what is the Zoom. Hang on, I'll do it. The Zoom... No, it's either *6 or #6 to unmute yourself. Sorry, Teresa. Okay, so Nancy, can you go to a roll call vote for Sue Goodwin's substitute motion?
Okay. Teresa Allen?
She can't unmute. I'll ask for her to text me.
So keep going and we'll come back.
Adriana Casanave. Can't hear you, Adriana. I'm going to go on and come back to you. James Dingaman.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally support her motion, but I don't see them as incompatible, but I have to vote no.
No, okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth?
Fred left.
Okay. Sue Goodwin?
Forgive me, but is this my motion?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Donna Grimes? Avelia Jones? Avelia, I'll come back to you. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez?
No.
Thank you. James McFadden?
Abstain.
Okay, thank you. Darlene Cavani?
Yes, and I have a vote from Teresa Allen when you come back around.
No proxy.
It's not a proxy. She can't unmute, and I have it on text from her how her vote is.
It's called a proxy.
Adriana, please don't let Nancy complete the call. Roll.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Pass.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. I'll come back to you. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Thank you. Elizabeth Van Gunten.
Abstain.
Thank you. Egberto Willis.
Abstain.
Thank you. Teresa Allen.
I'm reporting a text message from Teresa, who cannot unmute her phone. She's voting yes.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I disagree with that.
Thank you, Adriana. Let's just, I hear you. I understand the point. Let's finish the vote. And then I'll come back, and then I'll make a ruling.
Adriana Castaneda?
No.
Thank you. Brett is gone. Donna Grimes is not here. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Thank you. James Sagerton?
No.
Thank you. Sharon Salam? I don't hear Sharon. That's it for those who have voted. 8 yes, 5 no, 3 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Thank you. 9 yes, 5 no, 3 abstentions.
Chair, what is your ruling?
And so the point is, it doesn't make a difference because the motion carried with or without Teresa's vote. And what I was hoping was that it wouldn't come down to Teresa's vote so that we have to worry about
Alan
whether.
Alan says yes.
There you go.
Alan says yes.
Alan figured out how to say yes. So there you go. I don't need to make a ruling at all.
Okay.
And I think what Teresa figured out was if she called back in, she'd be unmuted. So
I'm alone in the car in front of the hotel. Don't mute me again, please. Thank you.
No, I won't. I won't. Okay.
Madam Chair, Nancy, may I ask the secretary to repeat the yes vote? Because I have a different count. I don't know what, maybe I'm wrong.
Nancy, would you say who were the yeses?
Also, the wording is in an email. Is that what you said? The wording for this is in an email, the substitute motion?
No, it's not. I'm putting an email, but if I have to, I will. Go ahead.
I got part of it, and I can start out the email. Let's see. Okay, so Alan, yes. Castaneda, no. Dingman, no. Dixon Griggs, no. Goodwin, yes. Gray, yes. Stewart, yes. Jones, yes. Lexa, yes. Martinez, no. McFadden, abstain. Pagano, yes. Rhodes, yes. Sagerton, no. Tanaka, yes. Van Gunten, abstain. Willies, abstain.
All right. So that's the, we voted on the substitute motion, so it replaces the main motion. And so, but now we need to vote on the substitute motion as the main motion. Are there any objections to the motion as amended?
Chair, I put that in the chat. Yes. Verify, please.
What type of programming? Determine what type of programming would make a difference.
Okay.
So that is now the main motion. Are there any objections to, are there any objections to the main motion as substituted?
Yes, Madam Chair, because that why was whatever Jim was trying to do. This is what we normally do. Yeah. I object.
Okay.
I think that are good intentions,
I asked for objections and I got an objection. So there we are. The point is what you're objecting to is Sue's motion. You can't put Jim's motion back on the floor. That's the problem because that was a substitute motion. So, so let's go to a roll call vote on.
On the main motion as amended?
Yep, on the main motion now.
Okay, 1 second. Alan? Teresa Allen?
Alan says yes.
Adriana Casanay? I can't hear you, Adriana. I'll come back to you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I'm sorry, wait a minute.
I'm sorry. Did you do Dingman?
James Dingman.
Yeah, no, and this is a good example why we don't have many people listening to us.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Abstain.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth. I'm just going to make sure. Sue Goodwin.
Abstain.
Heather Gray.
Abstain.
Donna Grimes, Avelia Jones.
No.
So, Marianne Martinez.
Abstain.
I'm sorry, Ali Lexa. Ali Lexa, I can't hear you. I'll come back to you. James McFadden.
Pass.
Okay, pass. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Thank you. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Thank you. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Jerome Salam? Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Thank you. Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Abstain.
Thank you. Willis? Can't hear you, Egberto. I'm going to come back around. Adriana Casanave. I can't hear you.
I say no.
You say no. Okay. Casanave is no. Dodsworth, Fred Dodsworth. Donna Grimes. Ali Lexa.
But every weekend.
I abstain.
Ali Lexa abstains. McFadden, you passed. James McFadden.
I'll abstain.
Thank you. Sharon Salam. Can't hear you. Egberto Willis. Okay, I have 5 yes, 3 no, 7 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Vote yes. Okay.
6 yes, 3 no, 7 abstentions.
Okay. That was the last item before we go into closed session, so I'll entertain a motion to...
Madam Chair, point of information.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
Who's going to serve on this committee to organize this?
Well, it's the programming. It's the programming committee. So we already have the committee. Okay, so once again, I'll entertain a motion to move into executive session.
So I move, Teresa Allen.
Thank you.
Second,
Teresa Allen.
Thank you, Teresa. Any objections to the motion to move into executive session? Hearing none at 11:54 p.m. We will move into executive session.